go. We on the road. The next stop, the Super Bowl. Hell yeah, you know we on. We built to do this all night long. Who that say they gon' beat them Saints? They a lie. They can try, but in the dome we know they ain't.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Gary Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prof G Pod, we bring you insights from blue flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds four times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
Who dat, and welcome back to Canal Street Chronicles podcast. I'm your host, as always, Brendan Ertl. Today, we're going to be talking about the Saints win on Sunday. The Saints beat the Washington football team 33-22 in their building. We walked in their trap. We took over their trap. How you guys doing on this great victory Monday?
Man, it is so fucking great to be approaching a bye week. To finally make it to the bye week, man. That's how I feel. Honestly, I'm just happy about the bye week.
Mm-hmm. At this point in the season, this bye week feels like a vacation for the guys, and it feels like a vacation for us.
Like 100%.
They get physically healthy, we get mentally healthy. It's a win-win.
I was saying before, when I was thinking about doing this podcast, doing my notes, it's like we're in week five or six. I don't even remember. But every podcast, it's like it's getting tiring because it's the same story every single week. Mm-hmm. Offense kind of sucks. It's not no rhythm. Defense is really good. Bend but not break. It's just the same story every week. And I think this will be the last week we kind of have to BS it like this. But the difference from this week and last week is they were almost in the exact same situation, up 11 late in the game. But this time they did everything right. They finished. Sean Payton was really strong in his play calls. They went for on fourth and inches. I was like, do not punt them the football. But did perfectly. What they didn't do last week was finish. And I thought they did a great job of doing that.
No, I mean, I'm totally with you, man. I mean, everybody talked about it, you know, from Marshawn and, well, post-game to Marshawn to Alvin. You know, Jameis, you know, it was mentioned multiple times about them learning from last week, and not even, I think someone even asked Marshawn what, you know, was like later on in the game, was it something that you guys talked about? He was like, no, like, you know, we already knew what we left on the table last week and what we needed to come out to do against Washington. And I mean, look, man, they took care of business. Everything wasn't pretty. You left with more injuries, right? You know, so I mean, just adds to the significance of this bye week upcoming. But at the end of the day, man, you know, when it was time to make plays, when they needed, when their back was against the wall, anytime it felt like Washington, outside of them, you know, taking the lead, I believe it was either, I think, in the second quarter, outside of them taking the lead, you know, every time it felt like Washington may had a chance to kind of sneak back in or make a couple big plays, the Saints responded, whether it was from special teams, whether it was a defensive play, or it was a big play by the offense.
Yeah, everybody stepped up. I think the whole team kind of stepped up. And, you know, Jameis, even credit to Jameis, of course, he had a great game, four TDs, just that one interception where Pete was essentially going to give him a compound fracture in his leg by rolling over on him. But he even said it after the game, you know, from everybody from his receivers to the punt team, he said, it was just a great showing all around. You know, there were some holes, there were some errors, but that's a big bounce back win. And, you know, headed into a bye week, they needed that more than I think a lot of people are going to give them credit for. I know all of us are kind of ready for this bye week. We're ready to see guys, including our top two wide receivers, come back into the actual game. which is just insane. Jameis has been this good with that ratio, and hasn't had Michael Thomas, hasn't had Tre'Quan Smith. You know, he's been throwing to Marquez Callaway and guys we pulled off of the street, you know, essentially with Alvin Kamara being all fitness team a couple weeks ago, just running and not really getting any passes. It's essentially who he's been throwing to. Like, and credit to them, they've held down the ship, and credit to the defense, they have really been the ones that have been exquisite and allowed them to really thrive in what they want to do on offense.
Yeah, offensively, it really wasn't all that pretty in terms of just rhythm. I talked about it earlier. Just I want to see a rhythm, because that's what we had with Drew Brees, was just this beautiful rhythm. But you're not going to have that with all these injuries. And coming into their game, their top their leading receiver is Deontay Harris, and he plays two snaps, gets a touchdown, and on a kick return, he pulls a hammy. And I really hope he's okay. But you had your top, quote unquote, top wide receiver for two plays of that football game. He was quoted with having ran two routes. So you automatically, you're pulling in guys who you didn't really expect to play a ton. Chris Hogan came in for a few plays, but the offense was, I thought it was pretty good for their circumstances. I mean, Chris talked about it a little bit on Twitter. I saw that Washington was daring them to pass the football, and that was kind of their, kind of what they came out and did. They're running 4 or 5 man fronts and said, you're not going to run the football on us. And Jameis hasn't really had an opportunity just to stand out there and run empty and just let it sling. And I thought he did a pretty good job of that with the people he had out there. Talking about Andrews Pete, I saw today that Sean Payton was getting really on him. I was wondering what he was saying, and he was wearing the wrong cleats. And I mean, we've all heard Sean Payton chew out some dudes from wearing the wrong cleats. So of course it's Andrews Pete, and those two mistakes by Jameis. I mean, I'm not going to dismiss him, but yeah, he did get his ankle snapped in half by a 300-pound man, and the fumble. I mean, we saw it all offseason. He worked on that, and it's just a good football play by Chase Young. I mean, obviously you want him to get down with that, but that's not what Jameis is going to do. He's going to try and get out of that pocket. But a stat I just saw that the Saints posted that is really a big reason why they've been playing so well, and they could be 4-1. The Saints are number one in the NFL in red zone offensively. They have 14 possessions in the red zone, 13 touchdowns. Defensively, they're first in the red zone. There's 14 possessions on them, only 5 touchdowns allowed. And everyone's going to talk about Marshawn Lattimore today, but he had a great game. But I thought Paulson Adebo did really, really good as well. That whole defense was phenomenal, in my opinion, for being on the field for 30 freaking minutes.
I mean, look, when you're undermanned, when you're missing as many key players as the Saints have been without since the beginning of the year, like you have to play a good situational football. You can't consistently shoot yourself in the foot, because you only have so many weapons or things to go to be able to overcome that against solid, and in some cases mediocre football teams, as we saw last week. You know, but yeah, man, I mean, and Marshawn talked about their approach in the red zone as well. Like, hey man, 3-7. I mean, that's the method that they go by. And we've seen them do this, you know, like all year, you know, going back to the Giants game, Giants come down, they almost get an interception, or Marshawn almost has a pick, same side of the field. This week, same type of situation, they end up getting 3-7, you know, not seven, and a near pick by Marshawn. And I mean, and it happened, you know, another play as well, where, you know, Heineke throws a terrible pass, or just not a good decision on the throw to Adebo. But they're making timely plays in situations in which they can't afford, unfortunately, not to, right? And you know, I will say in this game, one of the things that I liked, and we spoke about the front, but man, like looking back at it, I know, you know, Deontay only played 2 snaps, but you have to really, really, really either A, believe in your defensive line, B, not trust your secondary, or C, just not respect the offense you're going against. If you're coming out in 4-4 looks or 5-2 looks with, you know, 5 linemen on the field, and the Saints are out in 3 wide receiver sets, or you know, like, at least if you're the football team, you know that Deontay Harris is on the field and he's faster than any safety that you have out there. You know Jameis can throw the football. and you're going to bring and your safeties are up, you know, almost to where, you know, you damn near have 10 people in the box. It was so disrespectful to see that. And I'm glad that, you know, I mean, you know, Jameis said he knew right away by the depth that the safeties had that he had Deontay on that long pass. But I remember Sean was asked, and that was one of the reasons he ended up mentioning the five-man fronts, because he was asked in regards to why they were more aggressive with throwing the football this week versus, you know, in past weeks they've been running the football. But it was all because of the fronts. They made adjustments early, and that's what the team has done. They continue to make adjustments. Taysom goes out. That's a big part of your red zone package and short yardage package. You make adjustments and you find a way to make it happen. You run back-to-back quarterback sneaks, you know, in a situation that may have been a handoff. You lose a wide receiver, you know, in Deontay. Marquez Callaway comes in and he becomes the, you know, he steps up and makes a lot of big plays down the stretch. They just find ways, man, to no matter who gets hurt, no matter what the situation is, they don't make excuses. And 9 times out of 10, they're going to pull it out. And I mean, you can just only imagine. And we talked about it when the season started for a team that we wondered about from a depth perspective. This team was supposed to be gutted due to the salary cap, right? And there were a bunch of questions after the draft at certain positions. Well, now those questions may not, you know, they may not be really available as a lot of these guys come back healthier. You know, I'm just happy that they were able to get through it and persevere for another win, in which you guys were right about them needing it. And I just can't speak enough to how important this bye week is and happy that we finally made it.
I think one thing, like, that, and you said it, Chris, like the sheer disrespect of how they lined up against specifically those two guys, you just nail on the head. I just was surprised when I saw that Ron Rivera, a coach that I have a lot of respect for in the game, and obviously as we most or all do outside of the game, as just a good dude, a real, like, a coach that I'd like to play for, you know, kind of one of those things. And the situation that he's dealt with there in Washington, from team culture and team logo to, you know, player personnel coming into that situation, not a lot of coaches would be able to handle it as well as he did. And, you know, they're kind of struggling. You know, they have a lot of guys out. Taylor Heinicke, obviously a former XFL St. Louis Battlehawk playing quarterback for him, and, you know, doing a respectable job. Like you said, some mental slips. But I was aghast that Ron Rivera let his team line up like that. I really respect this Washington defensive line. But honestly, even with the injuries, our offensive line is a top tier, maybe the best offensive line in the game. It was just such a weird thing to watch that lineup. And after the play happened, it's kind of like Ron Rivera on the sidelines, just like, I don't know how I let that one go. Kind of, it was just odd. But yeah, it was just one of those games that we either thought it was going to be a really weird Washington New Orleans game. And most Saints fans know exactly what I'm talking about. You know, the last couple of years have just been crazy back and forth, great football games, very fun to watch, but also gave at least 30 Saints fans heart attacks along the way. But this game was almost more, it felt in control other than in a few moments. And I think that does speak once again, like Chris says, to the depth of this team. Yeah. From freaking Pete Warner coming out, and just absolutely bossing the place around, Paulson Adebo. It's been good. It's been really good. And that is probably one of the most encouraging ways to go into a bye week where, I don't know, it's 10 plus injuries, right? I mean, it seems like it's half the roster, but to be one game behind the Buccaneers with the way they're playing and the way Carolina's playing, and to be tied with Carolina, knowing that you've played the Packers as well and gotten them out of the way before they started to kind of find their own footing, you got to like where you're at. You have to.
The thing I was going to say was James Hurst was actually the highest graded offensive lineman in that game, and which was surprising to me at first. And I went back and watched, and I thought Ryan Ramczyk played really good as well. I mean, Chase Young had that one strip sack, but besides that, he did a really good job containing Chase Young overall. But the thing that was really missing in that game, and I think was the reason why Ron Rivera was just testing Jameis, was, I mean, you haven't seen it from the Saints. Those 5, 10, 15-yard chunk plays haven't been there. And when you add a guy like Michael freaking Thomas, that's going to fix it immediately. The whole offense is going to work better. It's either – Drew Brees talked about it on Sunday Night Football again. It's either a little inconsistent offensively or just these huge plays. Now we know they have the huge plays. Now, can they get the chunk plays? And you bring Michael Thomas in, you bring Tre'Quan Smith in, you bring back Nick Vinette. And then the Redskins, excuse my language, the Washington football team couldn't just center around Alvin Kamara. I mean, that was their game plan. Just beat us with anyone else besides Kamara. And I thought he still did a really good job offensively, but you bring back Michael Thomas and that's going to totally change. And Marcus Callaway, I mean, I just want to talk about this Hail Mary real quick. And I don't know what they were doing. I saw Landon Collins quote after the game said they weren't ready for the Hail Mary, which was just completely stupid to me because you have a Saints kicker in Cody Parkey, who I'm pretty sure that any of us could have kicked a PAT. I just honestly, you go back and you kick a PAT, you might hit one or two. He was just awful. So you're not playing for a field goal in that situation because it would have been a deep field goal. Sean Payton said his idea was two Hail Marys, but I mean, Marquez Callaway wanted it and he went and got it. And I think this was going to be his breakout game. And moving forward, when you bring back Mike and Tre'Quan, I think Callaway's going to get better and better, and he's going to have some really favorable matchups coming up.
I mean, it's going to open Mike. Guys like Mike just open things up for everybody, man. And I mean, and when you think about it, right, like now, you know, you have a proven deep threat in Deontay Harris that you have multiple games on film with him running these double moves and these post patterns in which you're going to have to respect and account for on one end. You know what Michael Thomas is going to do underneath and with his ability to run pretty much every route in the book. But I mean, there's also another question involved in regards to Mike that, you know, we talk about what he's done underneath, but how much is, or what we might have to ask ourselves is, how much is what you've seen him do, those 5, 10, 15 yard radiuses, how much does that have to do with the fact that you had to cater his routes and their game plans around what Drew could and couldn't do over the past few years? Well, now you have somebody in Jameis who can get the ball further down the field. We know Mike, even if he's not a speedster, he is a guy who we have seen make plays down the field, whether people want to put that along with his reputation or not. Especially with some of those deep crossers. I mean, it opens up a lot. And I think that there's a lot even that we haven't seen yet when it comes to that. Tre'Quan Smith is gonna come in and be a guy. I mean, we know that him and Jameis worked together a lot in the offseason. So at worst you bring another person that's familiar with the offense, that's a little familiar with the quarterback, just an overall professional. Like he belongs in the league and has made plays for this team before. So you have a guy that, you know, a number one who can beat almost any type of coverage when healthy, and Mike, an elite guy. You have yourself a deep threat. You have Tre'Quan. You have kind of a mix of this and Marquez, who can, he may not be a guy who, you know, who's good going against number
third cornerbacks consistently. I like his chances, right? And then that's on top of the fact that you can split out Alvin Kamara and you have him to account for out the backfield. I mean, it opens up everything and a bunch of different options that, you know, the Saints can end up kind of running with teams outside of the fact that when that offensive line gets healthy, Jameis is probably going to
be able to be even more dangerous when we're talking about balance and running the football. So, you know, it's not even just even Mike. I mean, it's what the offensive line is going to be able to do when it comes back healthy. What Nick Vinette can do as a blocker and possibly as a receiver. We even saw Adam Trautman make plays. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, that's probably good for his confidence going forward. And maybe he becomes a bigger part of what this team wants to do. We don't know. And for a team to have so many question marks and us still not knowing, them having these type of talent that are going to be able to return, man, 12 touchdowns, three interceptions. I mean, Jameis has done the best that he could. I mean, we should be talking more in regards to, from an optimism standpoint than I think we even are now.
Oh, yeah, that's what I was going to say is Patrick Mahomes is sitting here with 6 interceptions on the season, and Jameis Winston's tied for third in the NFL touchdowns, and he's got a 12-3 touchdown ratio. Who expected that? Who?
Did you guys see the picture? It was like Josh Allen. It was a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles thing with is it Splinter? They're the rat. Or is it rat? That's like they're kind of like their sensei guy. And it's him like being bigger, and it's Patrick Mahomes jersey on him. It's him being bigger than the rest of the guys, like Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson's on there. It's like kind of those, that generational era, that draft class. And then in the bottom, it literally says 2020. The bottom is him as an old man with the Ninja Turtles bigger than him. It's 2021. Just the most ridiculous. Like, I know that his demise is going to be greatly exaggerated. Like, it's Patty Mahomes. Like, we've seen this dude do stuff that shouldn't even be done in an XFL field, and it's paid off. But, like, it's just funny. It's weird to see him struggle. Like, they literally said, we're not going to have a defense so we can have this stupid good offense.
That's D Spagnol for you.
Yeah, the absolute best player on their team sucks it up. It's just like,
well,
all right.
They haven't drafted well either. You know, I think that's a big aspect of it. They haven't drafted well, and you know, Mahomes ironically is going through something that, you know, as Saints fans, you know, we've seen happen under Spagnuolo, but you know, but under Rob Ryan and other coaches as well. Which, you know, when your defense isn't really good, it puts too much pressure, no matter how elite the quarterback is, it puts too much pressure. Like we've never had to see Tom Brady play with a defense that is as bad as Kansas City's is, or New Orleans is in the past. Same with Peyton Manning. Like, you know, Drew Brees is one of the first quarterbacks with his talent, with the team that could be good, then couldn't be good, you know, eventually won a Super Bowl. They had to play with so many bad defenses, you know, and Patrick Mahomes, unfortunately, has to see what that's about. You start forcing things that is, you know, that's not there. Teams are capitalizing on them. And it's too much pressure for any quarterback, man, to have to deal with week in and week out, especially when you're playing against good football teams. I'm just happy that, you know, for Jameis and for this team, that this defense isn't good, you know, it isn't going through that. They don't have to worry about that anymore, you know, because, I mean, man, watching those Chiefs just reminds me of some of those, you know, mid-2000s, you know, Drew Brees teams that went 8-8, 7-9 because their defense couldn't stop anything.
Well, shout out Jeff Ireland, because they've brought in some amazing draft classes. And that's what we're going to talk about is Paulson and Debo played great, their third-round pick. Peyton Turner was pretty good. But Pete Warner was absolutely phenomenal. Had 13 tackles, career high, obviously. And if you go back and watch this game and just watch Pete Warner, he did so much more than just have 13 tackles. He was on some really important coverage snaps. But the rookie I really want to talk about, who should be in the MVP conversation, is Blake Gillikin. What a find for Jeff Ireland and that front office to find this punter who now has the NFL record for most punts inside the three. He has the longest three punts, which were averaged 53 yards, and he had three punts inside the 3-yard line. That's never been done before, and it's not even close. So, I mean, I just saw a quote on my phone, and I'm glad I saw it because I would have totally forgotten. Taylor Heineke said, Gillikin kicked the shit out of the ball, and he did. I mean, he really honestly had a huge implications on this football game. I mean, punters, I mean, yeah, they can flip field position, but he really changed the game. It's phenomenal. It's one of the best punter performances I've ever seen, and hopefully he's on the Pat McAfee show talking about how good Blake Gillikin was.
There was a game, and I was too lazy to look it up. Thomas Morstead had a similar game like this a few years ago, and it was on the road, to where he had multiple punts that pinned the opposing team inside the five, like the weird looking spin, you know, backspin, side spin punts that I have no idea. I don't understand enough about science or football to know how you can kick the ball and purposely make it do that. Like but seriously, like even if you know how to perfectly aim the ball, I know you can, there's a way to kick it in certain areas to make it backspin, but how the fuck do you make it side spin on top of being accurate and showing it's the weirdest thing that I would actually listen to a podcast about, because I don't understand it. But Thomas Morstead had a similar game. But even that game, I don't remember him being, you know, I don't remember him having three punts like that, to where I guess what was most impressive about Blake's game is that, if I'm correct, all three punts landed in different parts of the damn field within the 5-yard line, right? Mm-hmm. One goes to the right sideline and goes out of bounds. The other one goes to the left sideline, and the other one is in the center and in the center and bounces back
and the gunner, I don't remember who it was, ends up down, catching it and down, and you know, inside the one. I mean, that's like incredible. Like I don't watch enough about, you know, for punters to be able to tell you throughout the league who's doing this or who's done this before. But at least in my history, while I've seen Thomas Morstead have a bunch of great games, and again, I can't remember the one that I'm thinking about in which he was extreme, you know, he had a similar performance. I can't think of one that had so much variety in his greatness. I mean, but that literally probably is an all-time game, and it was important. Sean was, even Alvin said, I've never heard him talk about a punter like that. He said outstanding four times in a row.
I know you'd be putting like that on Madden.
Man, that shit is hard.
Honestly, what is ESPN doing right now? What are we running that we can't have sports science back? You know what I mean? Like, you guys remember that show? Like, I need to know, because it honestly, it's gravity defying in my opinion. Like, it just, you'll watch the ball, you're like, all right, this might bounce out. Like in Madden, I know how to do it because there's only like three ways the ball bounces, because it's 2021. We don't have that kind of science, I guess, to replicate that. But it's just like Blake Gillikin is an airbender. I think that's the only way. I'm just gonna leave it at that. He's football style bender. We're gonna leave it there.
To end this podcast, I'm going to read off the players that should be back next week, and we will leave you guys with that. Hopefully a gigantic smile. The league's best wide receiver, Michael Thomas, should be back. Nick Vinette should be back. Kwon Alexander should be back. Ken Crawley will be back. Will Lutz, we could see coming back. Gigantic. Traquan Smith will be back. Hopefully Taysom and Deontay are healthy. Marcus Davenport will be back. Eric McCoy could be back. Tron Armstead could be back. That is a Pro Bowl, Super Bowl lineup that you're bringing back. And this is a bye week. You won't hear from us for a little bit, but just keep that information, and we'll be staying strong here. So we appreciate you guys tuning in for today's episode. The Saints are 3-2 heading into the bye week, missing 40% of their starters. We're healthy. You're healthy. Let's all get a little mentally healthy this week, but appreciate you guys' support. Who dat?